It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. An interim director now oversees the state court's office. The four liberal justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court voted to fire Randy Koshnick earlier this month after holding the job for 6 years. We get reaction and examine the work of the chief non-judicial officer of state courts. You can be part of the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Randy Koshnick is former Wisconsin State Courts Director and Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge. Randy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Nice to be here again.
Good morning. Justice Janet Protasiewicz, now officially a member of the state's high court after being elected in April, she replaced Justice Patience Rokensack, who retired. And the day after Justice Protasiewicz was sworn in, the court votes to remove you from office. What is your reaction to that decision?
Well, my first reaction, Kate, is that the court didn't actually vote. The court is a court of seven. And I would invite your listeners, by the way, to not take my word for what I'm about to say, but to do their own research, primarily Wisconsin Constitution Article 7, which describes your judiciary. Section 4 says it's a court of seven justices, and that the Chief Justice, currently Annette Ziegler, is the administrative head of the entire Wisconsin court system. So I was told by Justice Jill Karofsky during a phone call July 31st that they had enough votes to fire me. They had four votes to fire me. And I was very surprised because the Chief Justice was in New York with me at a conference. She was unaware of any court meeting or conference to discuss this very important issue of whether we should fire the director. I spoke also with Justices Rebecca Bradley and Brian Hagedorn. They were not aware of any consideration of this question that day. So it was not, they were not acting as a court of seven or as a Supreme Court. The liberal justices were acting as a court of four, which is contrary to the Constitution, the state Constitution provisions I just mentioned.
So there so wasn't, I was very concerned. There wasn't a formal meeting where a vote was taken, a vote was held.
That's correct. What the internal operating procedures call for the Supreme Court, which are developed pursuant to the Constitution of Wisconsin, provide that they have administrative conferences, the court does, where they all attend, either in person or sometimes by Zoom or phone. In any event, all seven justices have the right to be there and to participate and have a discussion for obvious reasons. They might have various opinions about how things something should be handled, and maybe during the course of the discussion, someone changes their mind or brings something that has not been previously considered. And so there was no such administrative conference scheduled in the entire month of August. In fact, their administrative conference schedule and their oral argument schedule runs from September until June each term. So there was no conference. There was no consultation with the three conservative justices before this decision was made. And so this isn't really about me, Kate. The liberals could have legally fired me in September if they asked the chief to put on the agenda for the September administrative meeting, which I think is in early September. All seven justices participate. They discuss the matter. The law provides if I don't have four votes of support, I'm terminated with or without cause. And I knew that heading into the job. So it's not really about me. I'm just very concerned about the state Supreme Court and how these liberal justices, in my opinion, have violated the state constitution at least three times in the first 3 or 4 days in power.
Did your termination letter list any reason for dismissal?
No, it didn't. In fact, when Justice Karofsky called me July 31st, my first question was, after she told me I would be terminated the following day, have I done anything wrong or anything below the level of competence? And she said, no, we're just moving in a different direction. The termination letter just said, thank you for your service. And today is your last day in this position, basically. And, you know, in the 6 years that I had this position, Kate, it's important to mention no justice ever complained about me or to me about anything that I had done in the position. I received an award from the State Bar of Wisconsin in 2020 for the way I kept the courts running through the pandemic. Many state court systems shut down. Wisconsin kept moving. We had to close courthouses because of the pandemic, but I moved very quickly with my CCAP team to have Zoom initiated in all the courts. We used remote appearances, gave the public and media access through YouTube and other forms of video transmission, and kept the courts running. So I received an Innovator of the Year award in 2020. So I think I did a very good job, and I know that judges around the state agree I did a very Good job. Many have questioned my dismissal, including your previous guest, Bill Leaders, who I know. He wrote an editorial shortly after I was terminated saying Koshnick was a great advocate of public transparency. He promoted transparency in the courts, and our Supreme Court liberal justices need to provide a reason for why Koshnick was terminated. And they've not done so yet. They're not returning phone calls or email inquiries from the public or from the media. And so that's troubling, Kate, because a judge should have a reason for any decisions that he or she makes. They haven't given anything here. And it should be articulated. You know, when a judge is on the record, makes a decision in court, they're normally required to say, here's what I'm ordering and here's why. So we have neither logic in my termination or any articulation or response, even though there's been multiple inquiries demanding answers.
They have named an interim replacement in the judge, Audrey Skowronski. Has there been any communication on what the job entails or any handoff or materials for the interim?
No, and that's actually the second constitutional violation that the new liberal bloc had their first week on the bench. When your listeners are reading Article 7 of the Wisconsin Constitution, like I said, Section 4 describes it as a court of seven justices, each of whom has a right to be heard and to vote. Each of those seven has been elected by a majority of voters in Wisconsin, and those voters have the right to have their elected justice at the table. Section 10 of Article 7 states that no judge, while serving a term of office, may hold a non-judicial office of public trust. And the Director of State Court's office is a non-judicial office. It's purely administrative. It's public trust office because you're exercising discretion over public funds and public resources. And so when the Supreme Court liberals appointed the interim director the day after I was terminated, that's another violation of the state constitution. And there was no transition. I would have been happy to work with the incoming director. I respect the power of the court to appoint who they choose, but there was no transition. I was notified August 2nd that I'd be done later that day. And as I understand it, the interim was appointed the next day, but no discussion between her and I, no request by the liberal justices for any sort of transition plan or any transition of power. And I assume it's very rocky because it's a very complicated job to run a court system with, you know, over 700 employees, including all the judges and court reporters. And most judges don't have administrative experience. I know for me, it was a steep uphill learning curve when I first took the job in 2017. And I should add, Kate, when I took the job, I finished my final term as a circuit court judge because of that state constitutional provision. So when I interviewed with the Supreme Court, I said I was interested in the director's job and they informed me I would be given the job. We discussed the fact that I would not be able to begin until August 1st, 2017, which was the day after my then existing term in office as a judge would terminate. So I'm very concerned that they've made this illegal move to appoint her.
Because a sitting judge, as you say, cannot take another position in state government outside of being a judge while they're serving their term.
Right. And your listeners can read it. Article 7, Section 10, Wisconsin Constitution.
Talking with former Wisconsin State Courts Director Randy Koshnick with us. You can join in with your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Troy in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Yes, hello. I would just an observation. I notice you keep saying liberal judge, liberal court, repeatedly in your when you're describing things. And to me, that shows a, you know, maybe that's why we're terminated. I don't know.
Troy, thanks for calling in. Randy, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. I'm using, well, you know, commonly used references. We've only got so much time, Kate. And I think most people refer to the three conservatives and the four liberals in those terms instead of having to list all their names every time. So, and when I say liberal conservative, I mean liberal in their jurisprudence or their view of the Constitution and the law. It's just a quick, easy reference for a relatively short conversation like we're having.
I want to pivot. Today. I want to pivot to the job. How do you describe the responsibilities of the state court's director?
Well, it's non-judicial. It's non-political. It's described in the Supreme Court rules as the chief non-judicial officer of the court system. So what most of your listeners are probably familiar with is WCCA website, commonly known as CCAP, where you can look up court records on individuals and businesses. I know that small business people use it to check on customers, landlords, tenants. Parents use it to check background of their child's boyfriend or girlfriend sometimes. But that website is just a small section of the statewide IT network, which is the backbone of the court system. So all the court records that the judges use and the clerks use and the lawyers use is contained in the CCAP network. And all the judges and clerks have technology devices in the courtrooms and in their offices that help to process the tens of thousands of cases that go through the system every year. The director also runs the budget and fiscal office, runs HR for all the state court system employees. I oversee the judicial education office, which trains our judges throughout the course of the year to make sure they're up to date on the law, and advises the Supreme Court on matters relating to policy and pending legislation. Finally, I also run the public records request system within the court system that Bill Leaders talked about. So when you send a public records request to an official in the court system, that normally would come through my office for legal analysis and compliance and running a CCAP check and so forth.
Let's bring on a call, Jeff in Delafield now. Jeff, hi.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for taking up this topic. My question is, a lot of comments are made about laws broken at the Supreme Court level. When we feel that the Supreme Court itself is breaking laws, what is our recourse as citizens to hold our Supreme Court accountable, other than elections that come up, fairly infrequently? And it's so disappointing to me to hear, how it seems like our, it's just another example how we've sunk to a new low in terms of hyper-partisanship in the state of Wisconsin on both sides. I don't mean to pick on one side or the other, but it just seems like every year we just keep sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into this abyss of hyper-partisanship. So the question is, what is the recourse when we feel that the Supreme Court itself is breaking the law?
Jeff, thanks for calling in. Randy.
Well, that's a great question. And one of the problems here, we have a constitutional crisis because these four liberal justices have become a law unto themselves. One more item I'd like your listeners to look at related to this question is on wicourts.gov, which is the state's court system website. The statement of Annette Ziegler, the Chief Justice, dated August 4th, near the bottom of the page, contains a copy of the liberals' proposal to strip the Chief Justice of her powers by replacing the phrase Chief Justice with an administrative committee throughout the internal operating procedures. So there's a big question about whether they can do that. I don't think they can. I think it's an unconstitutional attempt to strip the Chief Justice of her administrative powers. So we're at sort of a deadlock. And now we actually have sort of two Supreme Courts in Wisconsin. We have the legitimate court, which is all seven justices. And then we have this illegitimate block of four, which is acting independently of the entire group of seven. So some people say, well, can't you go to federal court? No, we can't. There's no federal question here. This is purely state law, state constitution, state justices. So there is no federal question that I see or that most lawyers have talked to see here. So the problem is you keep moving back to the same Supreme Court, and they are the judge and jury of their own actions. So people say, why don't you sue to get your job back? Well, if I do that, I probably end up in front of the same four who fired me. If we challenge their attempt to strip the Chief Justice of her administrative authority, which is clearly spelled out in the state constitution, these four justices have enough votes to read things into the constitution that's not there. So the direct question is, what power do the people have? So I'm not advocating anything because I'm not trying to be political, but the only legal avenue I'm aware of would be impeachment. So if the people believe that a judge or justice has violated his or her oath or has engaged in corruption, which I think includes violation of an oath and violation of the Constitution, the people can, through the representatives in the assembly, impeach that judge or justice by a majority vote, and the matter then moves to the state Senate where the matter is tried. So the state Senate serves essentially as the court and the jury to determine whether the justice should be impeached. And if a justice is impeached, they're removed from office, and I believe they can be ordered not to hold that same office or any other office of public trust in the future. But that's the legal remedy that the founders of the Wisconsin Constitution put in to protect the people ultimately in maintaining their sovereignty over their government.
Randy Koshnick, former Wisconsin State's Courts Director, as we discuss the change in leadership of overseeing the operation of courts across the state. You can join in the discussion, call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with former Wisconsin State Courts Director Randy Koshnick, who was replaced earlier this month by the new liberal majority of justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We discuss the work of managing the state courts, reporting to the Chief Justice. You can call in with a question, add a comment, 800-642-1234. So, Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, you mentioned earlier, expressed disappointment in your removal from office. How closely did you work with the Supreme Court justices to guide your work?
Well, under the Supreme Court rules, the Director of State Courts reports directly to the Chief Justice. So I was in contact with the Chief Justice on pretty much a daily basis. She's the head of the court system. I am sort of the chief operating officer. I keep the system running. So we would speak daily. Other justices, you know, would call occasionally with questions or request information. I always return those calls and provided that information. I'd also meet with the justices in their conferences from time to time on administrative matters. For example, I was putting together the state court system budget request for the legislature and the governor. It took a long time to put that together, talk to all the different entities in the court system, put together a proposed budget. I went to the Supreme Court, you know, they approve it, and then I take it to the legislature, and along with the Chief Justice, try to convince the legislature and the governor to pass the budget as we've requested it.
Are Wisconsin's courts being adequately funded by state lawmakers who passed a new two-year budget this year?
I think generally, yes. I didn't receive everything I requested. I asked for more money for IT security because the court systems around the country and other government agencies are under constant threat of attack from cyber criminals and ransomware attacks. But the legislature did give me enough to provide adequate protection to the system. They did provide enough for to pay. Our main expense is our personnel. We're about 90% personnel costs, as you might imagine. So, yes, I would say we've been adequately funded by the legislature and the governor.
Wisconsin,
but
yeah.
I was going to say,
you know, Wisconsin having over 250 circuit court judges. How is this office interacting with the circuit courts around the state and their impact on them?
Well, there are nine judicial districts in Wisconsin, and each district has a chief judge appointed by the Supreme Court. And I meet with the chief judges typically once a month to discuss ongoing issues out in the circuits around the state. And I convey to the chief judges what the policy preferences are of the court, and the judges relate back to me concerns from the field. We also have administrators in the field, district court administrators who support the courts, you know, administratively out in the various counties around the state. So there's a very good method of communication, and that's one of my main responsibilities as director as well, to make sure there's good communication between the users in the field. In fact, the lawyers, litigants, judges, court personnel, and the Supreme Court, and the public and the media. I try to interact well and keep an open flow of communication between all those entities.
Do you see any work as being unfinished because you were forced to leave the role?
Oh, yes. I had a number of projects in the works. The Chief Justice has as one of her highest priorities, developing a mental health system in Wisconsin that allows people with mental health issues who are not dangerous to be treated outside the court system, typically in a community-based treatment program, as opposed to being put in jail as a last resort when they don't really pose a threat to anyone else. And so the Chief Justice and I put together a large mental health summit a few months ago. We invited stakeholders from all over the state to come together to try to develop ideas for how we can divert people struggling with mental health issues before they end up in handcuffs or in court or in a jail cell. I don't know where that stands now. I suspect it's going to probably go by the wayside. The Chief and I have been working on that for a couple of years and developed quite a bit of expertise on that. But I fear that may be lost. I was working on other technological advances for the courts to make sure they stay up to date on the technology. And I'm not sure where that stands either. I've not been consulted about anything since I was terminated. I did want to add, Kate, if I could, on the IOPs, the internal operating procedures that the liberals are trying to strip, the Chief Justice of authority, those rules and procedures have been in place for 40 years, since 1984, through five different chief justices, Heffernan, Day, Abrahamson, Rogoczek, and now Chief Justice Ziegler. And we've had shifts before in the power structure of the court, 4-3, 5-2, 3-4. No group of justices has ever tried in those 40 years to strip the Chief Justice of her administrative authority. Even when Michael Gableman won in 2008, the power shifted to 4-3 conservative. Justice Abrahamson was the Chief Justice for at least 6 or 7 years after Justice Gableman joined the court. There was a lot of tension and acrimony, but nobody ever thought to try to strip the Chief Justice of her powers out of respect for the state constitution. So this latest attempt by these four liberals is really breathtaking. It's unprecedented, and it does, I think, create a constitutional crisis in Wisconsin.
We have about 30 seconds left. You ran for the state Supreme Court more than a decade ago. Are you considering whether to run again in 2025?
No, right now I'm just really focusing, Kate, on getting the word out. I want the people in Wisconsin to know what's happening in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. I want them to do their own research, read Article 7 of the Wisconsin Constitution, read Chief Justice Ziegler's statement on August 4th, which is on the wicourts.gov website. Read the rules where the liberal majority is attempting to strip the chief of her administrative powers. Be informed. If you're concerned, contact your courts. First of all, ask these justices to explain their decisions. They're not returning calls or texts, and they have a responsibility, in my opinion, to state a reason for their decision. And they're not doing that, and I'm very concerned.
Randy, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
Randy Koshnick is former Wisconsin State Courts Director and Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.